Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you think about the legendary receivers that have come through these parts. Monk, Clark, Moss. Now there's Diggs. What do they all have in common? One-syllable last names. So got to get one of those one-syllable last name dudes to talk to us about what he thinks of Stephon Diggs. Who better than Santana Moss, who, of course, a longtime NFL player, star here for Washington, is now part of the Commanders, is an analyst for the team. Santana, I appreciate you taking time out of your day here to join me. What'd you think, Stephon Diggs, when you heard the news? What'd you think?
I was ecstatic, you know, to say the least. You know, I was one of those guys on record saying that I wouldn't care if we went out and got another guy with a name like a Diggs or IU, because I feel like we had a bunch of guys that could contribute to that position, to that wide receiver two position. You know, when you have a Vance Jefferson, you have Deami Brown, guys like who's starting to really develop, all these guys, you know, you name, you get A-Dub in the draft. When you have so many other receivers in the room, you want to see these guys develop and get a shot to really step up into that, you know, to that void. And so I really didn't care. And I've been a part of rooms like this. I've been a part of cores where, you know, we go with the guys we have. You're going to have a stud or two out there already, and then you go with the guys you have. But to say the least, man, when you got a chance to get a guy like Diggs and coming off the season that he came off of last year, you add that to the equation with the Terry McLaurin and those slew of other guys, man, it just got us better, man, offensively and in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I wasn't, like, screaming, oh, they have to get somebody. Now, I wanted to see what it looked like in camp, and we're, you know, six practices in. To me, you're the expert here, but to me, I thought the group looked pretty good. All the guys, whether, you know, whether it was Deami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Treylon Burks, like, et cetera, like, they've all had a day where they've looked pretty good, or you know, multiple days, and they each have, or they could have a role if you're doing, like, wide receiver two by committee, but I don't know that any of them are Stephon Diggs from a play calling standpoint. So what does it mean to have two guys out there that are probably going to be out there the most? Does that change anything for David Blau, knowing he's got these two guys as opposed to having to sort of rotate a bunch of guys in?
I don't know if it changed anything for the play caller. I do believe that, you know, that just strengthens our quarterback, you know, opportunities of making sure every time he drops back, he got someone lethal out there he can get a ball to. And then it's going to get a lot of other guys wide open. You know, when you have two dominant guys, I mean, you watch this game long enough. When you see guys, you know, with cores like this, you look at the guys over there in Cincinnati, how they play together. Some other cores, when you watch the Green Bay Packers last year, they had about three guys out there that really played well in sync. Not sure how this thing is going to really pan out. I think we all going to be looking forward to seeing how it does. But Diggs, man, he's one of those veterans that he can get the job done. He's shown it time and time again. Do he bring something extra with him? Yeah. But I think when you come to an organization like what we have now, and with the, you know, with the body of work that we display, you know, far as the brotherhood, you know, culture, and just the coaches that we have here, you know, guys like Diggs are ready to buy in and be a part of something that can really win. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how this thing pans out. Like I said before, if you had to just judge and gauge off of last year alone, man, you're getting a stud. And you know, I think his whole career speaks for that.
No doubt. We're speaking with Santana Moss about the Commanders getting Stephon Diggs. So, obviously, Terry McLaurin is still the guy here. I don't think there's any question about that. How do you kind of see that combination? What do you like as a compliment, or what do you think maybe they're lacking between those two guys?
Well, when you look at them, you know, they probably around the same size, you know, when it comes to height. So,
right.
We didn't gain anything there. I think Diggs, he could bring a lot to the table. Terry's still blazing. You know, Terry's getting up there in age, but he's still running with the best of them, and he's still one of the best to come down with those 50-50 balls. And he's just a game changer, man. He's one of those guys that don't get a lot of credit for what he does because he's so quiet in what he does. But when in doubt, you throw it to 1-7, and he's coming down with it. And when I watched Diggs play last year, man, he just showed this kind of edge to his game that if you may have thought he lost something from the knee injury, he found a way to show you he had something else in his bag. And that's what you want, especially when you see the different coverages that, you know, teams are coming up with. You know, Diggs found his way to get open in zones, man-to-man. He just did it all. You put the ball in the guy's hand, and he made plays. So I'm imagining just him going out there and saying, hey, give me opportunities. And like I said before, he plays with an edge that I'm sure that's going to be welcome to this team and this offense. And when you got JD5 out there at quarterback, man, you know, the sky's the limit for all those guys. So that's why I was real big on just seeing all those guys mature into their role and be as one. But it doesn't stop there. I think those guys still have, you know, have room to go out there and be productive as well with Diggs being on the team.
You know, you mentioned that competitiveness. We can measure speed. We can talk about drops, which he's very good at catching the ball, very, very few drops. We can talk about a lot of analytics that measures the physical athletic part of it, but the competitive part, unless I'm missing it, there's not a metric that defines that. And I think that is such an underrated thing, because no doubt you've had teammates or seen guys who you're like, they could maybe, you know, run faster than everybody or jump higher, who just didn't have that drive to that will to get it done. And having a guy like Diggs, I'm not saying they don't have other guys like that, but adding that kind of presence, I just think it's going to matter a lot.
Yeah, he's a dog, man. He's a pit bull. I love this. I love what he brings to the game. Everyone's not built the same, you know, when it comes to how they go about their business, and that's what you want. And that's what he brings, something different, something that we don't probably have individually, but you're going to see it. He's one of those guys, you're going to hear him and you're going to see him. You know, Terry's one of those guys, you're going to see him. You know what I mean? He don't have to talk it. He go out there and show it. But Diggs is one of those guys. You get him riled up, you're going to hear from him, and then you're going to see him, you know, strut his stuff. So, like I said before, man, you need some of those kind of guys on your team when you're trying to, you know, get to where these guys are trying to get to. But like I say, man, who knew we would go out and reach and go grab him? And now that we have, I'm glad that he's on board, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, a lot of people were asking over the last few weeks, hey, why not bring back Deebo Samuel? He's sitting there, and he is now subsequently signed with San Francisco. But people are like, why not bring him in? To my view, and I think this is where the team was, look, Deebo, as we saw last year, can be a really productive player, but he is not a traditional wide receiver. He's not a guy who's like running the same routes as everybody else. You have to design certain plays for him. And last year when Terry was out, I think they kind of lacked that, you know, sort of number one type. Whereas like Stephon Diggs, not saying he is still a top 15 receiver in the league, but both from the mentality perspective, the route tree perspective, that he is more of that kind of a guy. Is that a fair way to look at it? Hopefully Terry does not get hurt, but should Terry get hurt, they maybe now have a guy who can fill that role, whereas last year they just didn't.
You know, I'm one of those guys, man. I think when Deebo was the guy that can do it all too, I think Deebo get caught up into the whole, his body type makes people think that he can't run the regular routes. And with that being said, you know, he didn't necessarily have to. You know, he was a guy that just put the ball in his hand. He made plays. So I'm going to give Deebo the benefit of the doubt. He was a guy that, man, anytime we put the ball in his hand, it was something happening. You know, he made something happen out of it. Now, I do get what you're saying when it comes to a more traditional type of receiver, you know, and that this guy's going to run this. He's going to run every route on the route tree. I think if you play wide receiver in this league, you have to be able to do that regardless. Even the tight ends are running every route in the route tree nowadays. So I'm just going to say, you know, it's not fair to look at Deebo that way. I just feel like we needed more. We needed more help than just Deebo. Deebo went out there and did what he can do. Right. And it was the other guys that had to kind of like, you know, fill in that void and give us some help. Luke did a great job with his time. Lane did a great job with, you know, being a first-year guy and showing that he flashed and showed that he could have – you know, true potential. But I think one of the things that makes this, I think, a greater pickup is we do have Terry from the start right now in camp, and then now you add a name and you add the talent of a Diggs together, seeing these guys be able to, you know, take the field together in the preseason or just start the season off if everything goes well. That just brings us a little, you know, that makes us a lot more lethal, you know, and Debo had to carry a lot by himself last year, and I think he did a great job at it. But with having a Diggs, man, Diggs has been known to be a guy that you can see him inside, outside. You don't necessarily have to worry about, you know, doing gadget stuff with him. He's one of those guys that he can run from the slot or the outside.
Yeah.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's totally fair. I mean, Debo, I think, had a pretty good year. It just, you know, the way things went, and yeah, I think just Diggs is more of the complete option for them. All right, let me broaden out the room here, because it's not just going to be Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs. They will have other guys out there. And, you know, before this Diggs signing, the way I was looking at it was you had seven veterans for maybe six spots. I'm not, you know, some of the younger guys, Jaden Bradley, Jacoby Jones, you know, not discounting them, but kind of seven vet for six spots. Now it may be eight for six. We'll see. They could keep another guy, but it's hard to. Who stood out to you watching here so far in camp? You can go back to OTAs and minicamp if you want as well. Which of the other guys, non-McLaurins, have kind of stood out or to you so far?
Everybody's been having a day. You know, everybody's picking a day to say, hey, you know what? Let me catch that taxi and show that I got something, you know, in my bag as well. All these guys have really, you know, stood out and flashed so far in camp. It's only been, what, 6 to 7 days so far?
Yep.
And I think if you really look at it, you know, to a man in that room, you saw Terry, you know, and that's obvious. I think Burks have raised eyebrows. Just seeing Burks be able to be, you know, be here full time to really get a full offseason in with these guys, with Jaden, you know, it gives you high hopes, man. Because like I said before, when you have a guy that big with that potential, you know, of a first round talent, and to really kind of get comfortable and have confidence coming off a season that he had last year, where he was able to kind of gain some of that confidence and get comfortable with what we was doing, the sky's the limit for him as well. But A-Dub, you know, he's shown that he can be a savvy little young stud in this league. And I think when you think about it, a guy who showed flashes that develop and that has been showing his growth in developing as a wide receiver is Luke, you know, and then Vance Jefferson, you know, to me, man, Jefferson, when we first picked him up, I was high on him because I don't think he get a lot of credit. You know, I've been watching this kid for a long time. I've been watching him everywhere he goes, especially when he was with the Rams. Don't say a lot. It's like Terry, don't say a lot, but just make plays. And, you know, when you got guys that's not flashy, Jefferson reminds me of a James Strass. Run every route, you know, humble. We're going to help the core out tremendously with his knowledge. And just a worker. You know what I mean? Just a guy that's a savvy vet that's going to go out there and work. I played with guys like him, David Patton, James Strass, guys when I was in New York. You know, it was so many guys that Jefferson reminds me of. So guys like him and De'Ami Brown, like I said, every guy in that room has shined so far in this camp. So when you bring in the Diggs, it just stiffened the competition, man. And now it's going to be it's one of those cores that now everyone was already watching to see what we're going to do at the wide receiver two position. But now when you bring in a guy like that, I think it kind of calms down that chatter, but still, it's competition. It's going to be a competition. Don't get me wrong. I understand what Diggs brings to the table, and I love it. But every guy in that room now probably is coming to camp with a little chip on their shoulder saying, okay, now I have to go out here and really, you know, tie my laces up a little tighter, man, show them that I'm worthy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned Luke McCaffrey. I wanted to double-click on him. Yesterday, Tuesday – there's no such thing as the MVP of practice. If there was, I might have given it to him. He was the only guy that scored a touchdown for the offense. He had a, another
Ashburn All-Pro.
Yeah, absolutely. Had another big catch up the middle. This is a guy, obviously, who, you know, unfortunately last year, his year was cut short because of an injury. You know, fair to say he has not quite lived up to the status of being a third round pick, but I think people have been way too early to sort of just want to cut bait with him. You mentioned you think he's sort of stepped up. What have you kind of seen with him? And now with Diggs, what kind of a role could a guy like McCaffrey have with Terry and Diggs as the main guys?
Well, like I said before, we don't know how any of this stuff is going to pan out until we see it. Like I said before, one of the things about having opportunities, they all still have an opportunity to go out there and make their case for, you know, where they want to be at in that wide receiver group. I don't think you come into a season and say it's but a few guys on that team that probably came in and slotted as a starter. You know what I mean? Slotted as a guy that, hey, you're the guy for that position. It's but a few of them. But to say that, you know, our mindset is always still, you know, it ain't over until the fat lady sings. And right now the fat lady hasn't sung. It's still a lot of more days in camp. So they have to go out there with that mentality of earning their keep, regardless of who just came in the door. Just like the guy who just came in the door, I bet, you know, rest assured he's going to come in there and work his behind off to make sure that they know that he's coming for a spot. But when I look at a guy like Luke, I think what brings him value to us is what he can do on special teams. And the thing that stands out the most from him is you get a guy that came in, we drafted him in what, third round, and he was a quarterback in college. And so when you don't have that much reps, you know, I tell my youngest son this all the time, like, you know, you're trying to stack days or reps when you're new to a position or when you haven't got enough those reps in. And I think that's what's been shown from, you know, from day one to now, year three with Luke. You know, the confidence is there. You know, he's running fluid routes, not thinking about it. And it looks natural more so now because of how many years he's been doing this, how many years he get a chance to really practice running routes in the off season and being mindful that, you know, the different things, the different nuances that he has to, you know, have in his bag as being a receiver. You know what I mean? So it's a different ball game when you fresh and you come up from one position, but you know the other position. But when you out there and you continuously, you know, repping these routes and doing these plays and over again, you can only get better. And I think that's what you see from him. So I think what he has going on his side right now, he was a tremendous kick returner that had potential of probably being one of those guys considered for a Pro Bowl before he got hurt. And now when you have that kind of success and you start, you know, feeling yourself a little bit, it's only right that he comes back with the way he's been seen so far. He's hungry and he's going out there and showing that each and every day in camp so far.
Last question here for Santana Moss, just broadening this out for the offense. This is David Blau, first time coordinator, first chance we're getting to see at least a little bit of what he may what they may look like this year on offense. I mean, he's shown a fair amount of trick plays, to be honest, so far in camp. But just curious, as from your, you know, point of view as a former receiver, what has stood out to you about the way David Blau is running the offense, calling plays, and what does it mean for these receivers to help, you know, scheme them open?
Well, I think when you take a couple of pages out of where he come from and some of the things, some of his background, you know, being in Chicago and knowing how they did things over there, I think for me, I've been paying more attention to just, you know, Jaden getting a chance to get the ball, you know, from under the center. I think that's going to help tremendously for Jaden individually and our offense as a whole. I remember talking to London Fletcher so much about this last year, and, you know, London as a linebacker and as one of the greats in this game that should be a Hall of Famer, he always spoke, you know, highly about just seeing us in shotgun. That makes it easier for the linebacker. They don't have to really, you know, worry about that play action. And when you have a guy as lethal as Jaden with his legs, you will love to see him have that, you know, that part to add that part to his game where he can really make you work, make you, you know, earn your keep, you know, that day instead of just sitting back there knowing that we're going to fake it, like we're going to give it to somebody, and then now he's sitting back there patting the ball, getting ready to throw it. That kind of plays into the defense. So with knowing that we're going to have more snaps under center, man, I'm just looking forward to seeing the offense you know, kind of have an extra help with. Now the defense can't tee off on Jaden especially. And now you really could see the dynamic in our run game, because now they have to honor Jaden as a runner and those guys that we have behind him as running backs, you know what I mean? So that's something I'm looking forward to more than anything. I think right now it's kind of early for me to kind of like pinpoint something that I've seen, you know, that stood out, because I won't know what they got going on until I really see it. I'm not out there long enough, and, you know, they're not showing us all the stuff right now because it's preseason.
No doubt. Santana, I so appreciate you doing this. I know you spent a lot of hours out there in Ashburn, you know, working with Logan, and you got to keep Fred Smoot in line. That's a full-time job, and breaking it all down on the various shows you do. Thank you so much for the time and the insight. And, yeah, things are going to get a lot more interesting watching the receivers going forward. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you for having me, buddy. Take care.
No doubt. All right, Santana Moss there with some great insight. 301-230-0980. Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to have a guest here in a little bit. What do you think, Anthony? We probably need to roll here. All right, we'll come back to calls. We have a guest here, 5:30, Adam Kaplan, NFL Insider, talk about how Washington landed Diggs and a bit more. We'll get to all that here on the Team 980.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.